Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV. Today, we have gathered a team of experts from the Azure Data Factory team, where you could connect directly with the expert, both in the chat as well as live. And we're going to talk about Azure Data Factory and answer any questions that you have on Azure Data Factory. So before we get started, we'll introduce ourselves and then we'll take any question that comes. My name is Wee Hyung. I'm part of the Azure Data Factory team, and I lead the PM team in the US.
Hi, everyone. My name is Shirley. I'm the group program manager for Azure Data Factory, and I lead the PM team here in Shanghai, China.
Oliver.
Hi, everyone. I'm Oliver. I'm part of the ADF product team. I'm leading the engineering team in Shanghai.
And then Mohan.
Thanks for joining. I'm Mohan Sankaran, and I'm a group engineering manager leading the engineering team in Redmond.
Thank you. So as many of you see, right, we have the engineering managers as well as the group program managers, right, for the Azure Data Factory team. And we do look forward to your question. And so do join us at aka.ms/learnTV to submit your questions. And as the questions are streaming in, maybe we could start off by going one round, just to get a sense of, you know, what is top of mind for both the Shirley, Mohan, and Oliver. And then we'll start taking the questions. So maybe Shirley, you want to get started?
So thanks for the opportunity. We are adding product enhancements every day, every week in a continuous manner. And we're really looking forward to connect with the community and learn how you're building analytics solution using ADF, as well as any feedback and feature asks that you might have. So maybe we can also turn over to Oliver and Mohan to share their thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Shirley. Yeah, I think it's great opportunity for me. Like, we really want to help our the customers and you, and to you know, collect your feedback and help us to ship the product better. And we know the requirements and questions, and we can answer for you, and we can better, you know, cooperate in and even not just now and maybe in the future as well. Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, from my perspective, I think it is a fantastic journey for all of you to get into the Azure cloud, right? Starting to ingest data into it, right, and then starting to do preparation or transformation of data, right? And you got various options in ADF to do code-free as well as using the UI to build a low-code, no-code solution, or even the coding solution by writing them. Scripts and notebooks, right? So very interested in listening to you about how is your journey going? What are the challenges you face? How could we help build the capabilities in the product to make you successful?
Yeah, and while we have Mohan on camera, I think one question that came in is, you know, Azure Data Factory, one key capability of Azure Data Factory is data flows. And I think now that we have Mohan on camera, maybe Mohan, you want to share your thoughts and leave the hoods behind data flows, and share some of the magic that is getting data flow to be able to scale and be able to apply transformation and huge amount of data. Maybe you could share some of the internals, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? So the way the product evolved is like as you can see, we got a lot of connectivity and we could copy the data into the lake first, right? Then we had the capability to write scripts. And you can bring your own code and we will orchestrate for you, right? So the data flow journey is the one first to introduce the concept of code-free transformation, right? And we want to make sure that that not only runs for small volumes of data, right? It scales up to a very large volume of data. So the secret sauce behind it is you build all these transformations in a code-free manner in a user interface, and we will convert that into a Spark code, into Scala, and then run it on Apache Spark, right? I mean, as most of you might be familiar, right? It is the Spark compute is are infinitely scalable, right? So, and you don't need to bring your own compute, right? You can configure this in the UI and we'll procure the compute and we'll scale it up based on your configuration, right? And we will really, and you pay for what you use, right? We pay for what the consumptions are, right? These are the interesting challenges which we take it on our side and make it available to you.
Thank you, Mohan. Sounds good. Now, the next question that came up, right, is for Oliver. And the question is really, if we have self-hosted integration runtime installed, can we turn off auto-update? I think that's the first part of the question. And two is, if I want to make sure I have a stable version of self-hosted integration runtime, can I always rely on it? Would you force me to upgrade? What is the time window before I have to upgrade, Oliver?
Yeah, thanks, Weishong. And for SHR, the self-hosted integration runtime, and and the user has the flexibility to turn off or update, and by default, it's turned on. And feel free to do that if you want. And also, that doesn't mean we still have the reliability and SLA promise for each of the version, SHR version we support. And yes, if you run, you run on the old version of SHR, which still means it's stable and it has the SLA blessed behind. And with the new version of the SHR, we release like a new version of SHR twice per month, and it brings more features and all the added like functionality into the SHR. So we encourage, strongly recommended, and you can upgrade to, it's really safe, and you upgrade to the latest version of SHR and to enjoy the new features and the capabilities. And also, the SHR has the like support lifecycle like 1 year. So which means okay, and the 1 year. The when the version hits the 1 year like life cycle, we would remind the customers and users to force to upgrade the remember to upgrade to the latest version of the SHR. So that's the story on this.
Yeah, and then while we have Oliver on camera, I think the other question that came in is really the fact that does SHIR require inbound port? Or is it just outgoing port?
Yeah, that's a good question. SHR and doesn't need, require any like inbound port opened at the like the corporate firewall, and you don't need to have the inbound port open to the internet from the internet. So that's not really necessary. That's the within the corpnet and. And we have the default, the Windows firewall, the 8060, the default the inbound port opened, and you can feel free to turn it off on that.
Got it. Thank you, Oliver. Now, I think the next question that came out is really on CI/CD. And as you know, we have been making significant investment in the CI/CD capabilities in Azure Data Factory. And the question is really, I've heard, things about CI/CD experience with Azure Data Factory. Has it been improved? Is it reliable now? So for many of you that have been working with CI/CD with Azure Data Factory, we support you, the connection to Git repo, right, which is either GitHub public or whether it is Azure DevOps. And over the past 6 to 9 months or so, we've made tremendous improvement, right, in the CI/CD experience. Including the ability for you now to be able to do automated publishing and be able to incorporate this right as part of your end-to-end flow. And of course, we continue to make improvements on CI/CD. And definitely, if you have any further thoughts on how we can make it better right for the Git repo of your choice, definitely reach out to us as well. And one of the other things that we've heard a lot is beside Azure DevOps, beside GitHub, can you connect to other Git repositories? That is definitely something that's on our mind. And if you have a use case that you want to share, definitely drop us an email to the ADF team. We'll definitely love to hear from you. Yeah, so let's move on to the next question. Now, the next question is really for Shirley. Today there's this notion of a DIU, right? And you make use of DIU when you do a copy. And I think the question here is, can you share the rationale behind DIU and copy? And how do I understand the pricing?
I love that question. ADF is a fully managed service. It's serverless, which means that there is user is not required to preserve any compute, reserve any compute, and pay for the whole duration for the reservation. Rather, you simply specify how much horsepower you want as you perform various type of operation, and you pay for use. So pay as you go, using very elastic, very serverless, very scalable billing model is one thing that customers really, really love about ADF. And that gives them awesome price performance ratio. As Weishou mentioned, ADF uses different types of unit to express the size of the compute as you perform different types of operation. When you're doing mapping data flow, you kind of choose what is the compute type and as well as the number of vCores. And when it comes to copy, DIU is the logic unit that you specify. So on a per copy basis, you can say, you know, how many, how much CPU, memory, and you know, network you want to throw at this copy operation. So DIU is really a concept, a logical concept for you to express that. So when it comes to billing, again, it's pay as you go. You pay for essentially the number of DIUs times the duration, however many hours. And we have the latest information on the pricing sheet where you can do price calculation and projection.
Thank you, Shirley. Now, the next question is on TTL, or time to leave. And we'll bring up Mohan on camera, right? Mohan, like, would you share your thoughts on what is TTL? Why is TTL important, and how can I use it to improve my data flow performance?
Got it. I think, as you mentioned, Vishang, the TTL is the time to live concept, right? So they mentioned data flow is your code-free surface in which you build your data, the entire path of how the data moves from source to sink, and you also configure how much compute you want to use to do the transformation, right? So as I said, when the transformation starts, we procure the Spark compute, right, to the number of cores you specified. We run the whole job, right, and then shut down the compute. And every time you restart, there is a time delay in procuring the compute and spinning up the clusters and all that stuff, right? So if you wanted to avoid that startup time, you set up this time to live, right? And you, within the time to live, if you keep submitting more jobs, then the existing cluster, right, your warm cluster will be used, right? And you will avoid the cold start. That is one way in which you could, if you have a lot of jobs one after the other, you can time it up to say, set up the TTL correctly, then you will not pay the penalty for a cold start, right? That would be the use of the TTL.
Thank you. Now, the next question that came up is really on copy, right? And as many of you know, right, ADF has a global copy or data movement infrastructure that is moving petabytes of data per month. And I think one of the things that came out in the question, which is really interesting, which is for Shirley, right, is, you know, I want to use copy and I want to be able to copy data from on-premises data sources to one of the Azure store, right? It could be a Synapse SQL pool, it could be a Cosmos DB. How do I optimize the performance of my copy? Shirley?
Yeah, so the copy core infrastructure is really built with great reliability, resilience, and scalability. So not only do we ingest many, many petabytes in aggregate across all the ADF customers, but on a each customer, even on a per operation basis, each copy operation can scale to multiple petabytes. So you can, you know, move petabytes of data with a single operation. So, you know, that gives you an idea of the scale and the magical power behind the copy runtime. So when it comes to copy performance optimization, I would say that, you know, the team and the engineering team has done a fantastic job of building a ton of intelligence and smartness into a auto self-tuned and self-optimized engine. So we have a lot of self-healing, you know, detection on throttling. We can automatically scale up and down based on the data size. So there is an auto setting by default. You don't really need to do anything. You can leave the setting as auto, and the copy engine is smart enough to figure out whether the copy is a binary copy, is it a structured data, is it semi-structured data, what type of data source and sync we're dealing with, even including the number of files, and appropriately choose the number of DIUs, the level of parallelism to move the data at the greatest speed and the most economic way. So that leaves a lot of the removes a lot of the guesswork out of the copy authoring and configuration. Of course, you know, for advanced users, you can always opt to provide specific settings and, you know, use the setting that's most appropriate for your workload. So you always have the ability to override the auto. But, you know, for the 90% of the case, you can leave the setting to auto and the system will automatically do the right thing. Back to you, Weixiong.
Thank you, Shirley. Now, the next question that came up is on event triggers. And the question here is really, what are event triggers? And we've been hearing this in various product roundtables as well as Ask the Expert sessions like this. And I think the notion of event trigger is really the ability for ADF, right, to be able to trigger a pipeline, if you will, right, based on different kinds of events. And as many of you know, early on, we allow you to be able to respond to block created or block deleted event in ADL Gen 2. And one of the things that we've added over the past month or so, and now is generally available, is that notion of storage event, which is essentially taking block created and block deleted and correct storage event. But one of the things that we're going to work towards GA is that ability to not only respond to storage event, but also custom event that are in your event grid, right? So you can imagine that anything that you're built, whether it's an application or whether it's a system that you're built, that's able to push event into an event grid as custom event, you are now able to then trigger an ADF pipeline, right? To do amazing, whether it's data movement or data transformation, just like that, right? And we think that that's going to open up a brave new world of possibility for event-driven ETL, if you will. And we're just at the very beginning of that journey. And so we'd definitely love to hear feedback from you that, you know, how do you go about using event triggers, whether it's storage events or whether it's custom event. Right now, these are available in the public Azure Data Factory that you're using today. And over the next few months, we're going to work towards GA for the custom event trigger. Thank you. Now, I think the next question that is coming up is for Oliver, is on SHIR, or self-hosted integration runtime, is, if I want to lock down the use of self-hosted integration runtime within my VNet, what would you recommend?
Yeah, thanks. And VNet is really popular today. And if you SHI is already inside your VNet, and that means the data store you are, and the SHI is going to access is also within the your VNet, then basically you don't need to turn on any of the like outbound port even and to those like the Azure Data Factory service URL, and also some of the service endpoint from the ADF. So basically you can remove those outbound open from your firewalls, and it works as what you expect. Just a small enhancement that we are continuing. Basically, if you do the authoring, when you do the authoring and the pipelines, and the test connection may doesn't work as expected, but we continue to improve that part, but doesn't impact your activity execution runtime. It doesn't make your activity fail. So don't worry on that. Yeah, thanks.
Got it. Now, hot on the questions on optimization. Early on, Shirley shared a lot of her thoughts on how can you go about optimizing data movement or using the copy activity. I think the next question that came out is really on data flow. How do I go about optimizing mapping data flow And I think Mohan has been thinking about this problem for a long time. And I'll bring him online to share the thoughts. Right.
That's a good question on the data flow. Data flow typically involves reading data, right, from different sources or a large amount of data from different file partitions or from SQL or from Cosmos DB, and then do a lot of transformation, and then adding into a lake back again or to a data warehouse, right? So we initially talked about the TTL concept where you really wanted to use reuse an existing warmed up cluster. That's one step in the optimization, right? Beyond that, it's the amount of data which you read, right? And if you have a good set of keys with which you can partition on, as I mentioned, data flow runs on a Spark compute, so you can play around with the partition setup inside your source transformation, right? So you can configure it to different types of partitioning, right? And the number of partitioning which will spin up as many cores as you want in the Spark compute, right? Then after you do the partitioning stuff, you can come back into the transformation side. And in transformation, there is, if you have transformations like lookups or joins, right, which you're bringing multiple sets of data, then a memory optimized compute may be slightly better, right, than, for example, compute optimized, right? So that's something which you want to play around with, right? Then finally comes to the loading the data back into warehouse or into your Gen 2 blob store, right? So there again, sometimes staging the data and then loading into the data warehouse is much faster. So it all depends on the size of your data, the amount of transformations you do, and where do you load the data into. And we do have fantastic monitoring tools, right? I mean, our UI and monitoring gives you details on every step of the way, how much time it takes. So it guides you on fine-tuning all these optimization techniques, right? At the end of the day, there is a very detailed guide, which we have it in our documentation. Play around with that. And if you have any suggestions or improvements which you can think of, send it our way.
Thank you, Mohan. Now, the next question that's coming up is also really timely, right? As many of you know, data integration itself enable you to build amazing both ingestion and transformation capabilities. And as you also might be aware, right, last December, we made available, right, in public preview, Azure Purview. And I think the next question is really, what is Azure Purview and how can you integrate it with ADF? And we'll bring Shirley online to share about that.
Right. Thanks, Weixiong. So Azure Purview, which just went into public preview last December, is the latest and greatest unified data governance service that help you to manage, catalog all of your data, and whether it's on-premise or in other clouds, or whether it's data assets that's behind a SaaS application. So Purview allows you to create a holistic data map, a complete catalog to help you manage the data with whether it's automatic discovery or manual publishing. It can also do data classification and lineage. So ADF and Purview integration really started in the lineage space, whereby as the data engineer executes various data pipeline, the rich lineage data is pumped automatically into a Purview account. And then whether the lineage information from a single factory or you have your project spread across multiple factories, all of this rich graph of lineage data is stitched together in a very easy to understand visual manner. So you can do impact analysis and then track the lineage end to end of your data sets. And of course, this is only the beginning. So as Purview matures, advances into GA, there will be a lot more enhancements, very, very exciting enhancements that we're also planning and actively working on. So we will definitely share more updates as we progress here. So be on the lookout for exciting new announcements coming your way.
Thank you, Shirley. Now, the next question that came up is really on how can we build scalable and high available solutions with self-hosted integration runtime? Is it supported? And over to you, Oliver, who should be able to share, you know, some of his thoughts around HA thinking around SHIR, right?
Yeah, thanks, Weishong. And yes, this is a question usually we hold from the customers when they use the SHIR, and because that's the perfect, like a good solution for them to for enabling the hybrid scenario. And when they run their SHIR in the at like their on-prem environment, and because, you know, the traffic and the concurrency like say is huge, and how can we build the scalable solution with the self-hosted? Yes, you're right, and we SHIR natively support the HA and solution inside, and you can you know, build and install multiple nodes, etc., and to build to have your like a scalable and high availability solutions. And today we support up to four nodes, and which we see that satisfy almost all the customers like for their like HA solutions. And we continue improving that, and you will see the if you have the need to like the current number support number of the node cannot satisfy your traffic, and feel free to tell us and what's the challenge behind and why, and we can further answer on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver. Now the next question is really timely as well. It says, what is the best place to start to learn more about Azure Data Factory, so that I can self-learn and how to build pipelines and data flow, right? In fact, earlier this morning, both on the Microsoft tweet, Microsoft developer tweet handle, as well as on LinkedIn, we shared the Azure Learn modules, which is really a learning path for you to, from not knowing Azure Data Factory to becoming an expert in Azure Data Factory. And we could also share the link here as well, which is aka.ms/adf/Azure Learn. And we have, or the team has come together, right, to put together close to about 8 modules, and continue to push out more modules, right, for you to learn about Azure Data Factory. And hopefully through all these learning resources and a lot of this Ask the Expert and sessions that we will host, right, would enable you to, you know, get started with Azure Data Factory really quickly. And on top of that, other things that we've done, which we can share after the Ask the Expert session as well, is in February this year, right, we had also created a 24 hours event together with the Azure SQL team. And right now, those events and all the recordings of the session, we have put it together into a curated YouTube channel. And so you can have nonstop ADF that will help you get up to speed on anything about ADF, right? Now, we're still waiting for other questions that comes in, and do push in. Okay, now we actually get a question live, which is awesome. It says, can you tell me the difference between ADF and Synapse Pipeline and Data Flow? Okay, so from a concept perspective, you have Azure Data Factory, right? And of course, many of you know in Azure Data Factory, you could create pipelines, right? And in pipelines, you could say, well, I want to have a data flow. And of course, in data flow, as Mohan was sharing earlier, right, you could build amazing transformation that pull data from different data sources, right, transform the data and land it in any sync, if you will. And underneath the hood, we'll run this at scale for you on a Spark cluster. And I think the question here is really, well, you know, I've seen ADF pipeline, I've seen ADF data flow. Is it the same as Synapse pipeline and data flow? The short answer is yes. The same infrastructure that power Azure Data Factory pipelines and data flows are powering Synapse as well, right? And therefore, if you are already an expert in Azure Data Factory, right, and you want to be able to then move to Synapse or Azure and get started with building your pipeline and data flow, you can use all the skills that you have learned. And so we ensure that there's consistency between the two services, and we continue to work together, right, as one team to drive innovation in the space. So I think time is up. Maybe we'll take one last question by just going one round among the few of us, just to share, you know, what are your parting thoughts with the community? And so we'll start off with Shirley and then Oliver and Mohan. Shirley? much, Aliyah.
I think we're at time, unfortunately. We would love for this to be never-ending show, but we have to wrap. So do reach out to us, and also would love to continue to connect with the community. So visit docs.microsoft.com/en-us/Azure to learn all about Azure and ADF, and then use the MS Learn module to get started with ADF. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.